morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, in just a little bit, we're going to be talking to a very special guest that we have on the line with us. But there are some Master Gardener activities that are coming up this month. It's a pretty busy month for you Master Gardeners, and actually happening today, right now, at the Downtown Artist and Farmers Market downtown on Anthony Street, the Master Gardeners are putting on a demonstration, right?
Yeah, we've gotten together with the Downtown Farmers Market to kind of put together some hands-on demonstrations at their market. And they're out there from 10 in the morning until noon today. And we have some Master Gardeners talking about container gardening. A lot of people don't either have the space or the time or the desire to overdo their entire landscape with some nice plants. But really, a container gardening is a great place to start and to be able to keep growing plants all year round. So we have some Master Gardeners out there that are going to be demonstrating some techniques and some little pointers for you to be able to take home and be able to navigate the garden center or any kind of nursery that you visit around town.
And another event that's going to be also coming up a little bit later in the month is the final class in that Gardening 101 workshop that you have going on at the Multipurpose Center on Viscount.
Yeah, that's definitely a really great sit-down class to be able to understand it and get excited for gardening. And our last installment of this series is going to cover fall gardening. A lot of folks love their fall and early spring gardening because the temperatures are so cool. But you have to also look at which plants are going to be able to thrive in that kind of weather. And like with El Paso and anything related to gardening, it all goes back to having your calendar set up and make sure that you have enough time and you plan yourself, your plants can be established before these freezes come into play. I know it's kind of early to be talking about freeze, but it's definitely within that realm of time. So yeah, that's a great class to be able to do that. We have a registration set up through the Parks Department, so go ahead and do that and stop by and see Master Gardeners.
And of course, all that information is on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And one other important deadline is coming up later this month, which is the deadline to register for the Master Gardener class that you're going to be starting up in September. That deadline, I think, is coming up on the 24th of this month?
It sure is, and we start the class the first week of September. We're ready to go on that. Master Gardeners is a great program. I know we talk a lot about it on the show. We have a great time learning, training citizen volunteers to be able to expand our outreach into the community. So Master Gardeners are at Ardovino's every Saturday morning. So I encourage you to stop by and visit with them and they'll be able to explain what the program is all about. It's a two-prong program. It's not just the education that we provide, but also the volunteer hours in return to be able to be a certified Texas Master Gardener. So we're excited about that. If you have any questions, give us a call, send us a message, and we'll be able to visit with you.
Yeah, and if you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener, and you can talk to the Master Gardeners, again, like you said, at the Farmers Market, either the one at downtown today or the one at Ardovino's on the upcoming Saturdays, and you might find yourself on the other side of that Master Gardener booth sometime in the near future. That would be super cool. And I've got all the information of everything we've been talking about on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And now we are going to introduce a special guest that we have on the line with us. She is actually going to be hosting an upcoming workshop that's going to be taking place at the El Paso Garden Center on August 20th. So we want to welcome Sabine Green to the show. Welcome, Sabine.
Hi, thank you very much.
Well, we first want to mention that you're up in Las Cruces right now, and you actually are an instructor at New Mexico State. Tell us what it is that you teach up there.
Okay. I am what they call the Floriculture Program Coordinator for New Mexico State University. I teach floral design, both a beginning and advanced class, and then I have some independent study courses which involve retailing in the floral and nursery industry and then greenhouse management as well.
So what kind of degree program does that fall under? Because I know NMSU is very heavy into its agricultural programs.
We are under the Agriculture College, and we are housed in the Plant and Environmental Sciences Department. Our program is actually not required for any of the degrees. However, they are considered horticulture programs, and most of the students out there that are taking ornamental horticulture do come into my classroom at one point during their college career.
What about students who maybe are other liberal arts majors? Can they maybe take your class as an elective? Because that sounds really, really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. The majority of my students, probably I would say 75% of them, come from other colleges. I only have about 25% that are ag-related majors. So it's a wide variety, and I get students that come because they need a little bit of a break from traditional curriculum. So they come over and get what we call their flower therapy for the week and have a lot of hands-on fun during their lab portion of the class.
Right. And I think it's also a great way to kind of expand and reach out to other audience as well, because I think some people think that they have a kind of a preconceived notion of what the ag college is all about, and to be able to come in there and see floriculture and what that involves to come together is really important. So that's a really good thing that you're reaching out to other people out there and have that appreciation of ag and where their beautiful flower arrangements are coming from, in fact.
Yeah, and I know that most flowers that we find in the grocery stores that are used for flower arrangements, aren't they grown in South America? So I'm wondering if any of the flowers or materials that you use in your class, whether they're grown there at the NMSU greenhouses or if you do also import those from South America?
Well, the majority of our cut products that we get are shipped in from two different wholesalers, and a majority of it actually comes from California. It's Californian grown. But we do have a wide variety that also comes from South America as well as Africa, and a small portion of it from Europe, from the Netherlands. As far as what we grow there at NMSU, we have a student-run greenhouse that I oversee, and so my students are welcome to plant crops. However, because of the nature of cut flowers, it's super labor-intensive, so I encourage them to do potted product instead. We have up to 30 different varieties of succulents, which are a specific type of landscaping plant, good for container gardening, which I heard Denise talking about earlier. And we also have a variety of houseplants and ferns, which we use for our cut foliage. But as far as, you know, cut flowers, we keep things pretty minimum due to labor constraints.
Well, the reason that we're sort of setting you up for all this background information is because you're going to be bringing some of that experience to El Paso here in a few weeks on August the 20th. You're going to be hosting a floral jewelry workshop. And, I mean, we've all seen jewelry that's sort of flower-inspired, but you're actually going to be incorporating actual flowers into jewelry. So tell us a little bit about what all this entails.
That's right. In the floral industry, we have what we call wearable flowers, and in layman's terms, that's things like corsages and boutonnieres. And so everybody's seen those, you know, when you go to a wedding or to a prom or a quinceañera. Most people are familiar with those. However, in the floral industry, particularly in some of the larger metropolitan areas, we're starting to see a trend to wear fresh flowers for more than just proms or quinceañeras or weddings, and to wear them in untraditional ways, like as a necklace, earrings, maybe something that will attach to a high heel or an anklet. So we're going to talk about some fun things and trends that they have going on and how you can incorporate that as a home gardener and things that you can get that are kind of easy to find and reuse to give you a little bit of fresh flowers, even if you're just going out on a simple dinner date.
Well, what kind of flowers would you be using in this kind of a workshop? Because I think there's so much to pick from. So we're thinking maybe would roses work, or would you fall back in the regular chrysanthemums that, like you've mentioned earlier, are used in mums and boutonnieres and stuff? What kind of materials are we looking at for using in jewelry?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Pretty much anything that's small enough and not heavy that would be comfortable to wear. So miniature roses, yes. A lot of the flowers from your herb gardens make really great additions to a wearable piece. things like zinnias, as long as they're small, not the dinner plate sized ones.
Right.
those work really well. Also, one of my personal favorites is honeysuckle vine, and I'll be bringing some of that to work with. Geranium leaves and blossoms, the list can be endless.
So we got the fresh flowers going on. What kind of jewelry? You talked about, you know, bringing in some repurposed jewelry that you can alter. Like, give us some inspiration on what can we expect, or what should we do? What should we bring?
Okay. So if you want to bring something, go through your old jewelry box and look for some costume jewelry that you would be willing to sacrifice. Say something that, you know, if you were getting ready to move, that you would put in the box to send to a thrift store. Those are the kinds of things that you want to bring with you, and it can be necklaces, bracelets, earrings, the works. It doesn't matter. You can even bring headbands. What we're going to do is learn how to attach the flowers to them and how to choose the flowers properly. I would discourage bringing valuable pieces of jewelry because we will be using adhesives, and so you don't want to do that on things that are anything more than costume jewelry.
Well, seeing how we're using fresh flowers here, I'm assuming that this is the kind of jewelry that you can constantly refresh with new material.
Exactly. So that's kind of the point. And I've taught this class several times before, and what I've had in the feedback from it is that people love to give these as, say, hostess gifts. If they're going to some kind of a outing, and like a dinner outing, they're great for birthday gifts rather than, you know, having the big bulky shoulder corsage. They're really cute for flower girls or for just young girls that are going to a birthday party. Just something to step it up. I've used them for night out at the opera, going to see a musical. My niece was absolutely thrilled to have her first fresh flower necklace when we went to go see Wicked.
Oh, cool.
So, those kinds of things, that's what we're going to be working on. So I will be having extra bases to use, and what I mean by bases is jewelry. So I'll bring some necklaces, I'll bring some earrings, and everybody that attends the class will be able to take something home. So it's not necessary to actually bring something. If you're at a loss, I'll be bringing extra with me.
This floral jewelry workshop is going to be coming up again on Thursday, August the 20th. It's 5:30 to 7 p.m., so it's after hours, and it's only a $10 program fee. And as Sabine was saying, all materials are included, but if you want to bring some of your jewelry you'd like to repurpose, feel free to do so. Pre-registration is required for this for Wednesday, August the 19th. That's the deadline to register. And the people to contact is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, and they've recently moved offices, so there's a brand new number. That number is 771-2354, 771-2354, and we'll also have the information posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And Sabine, just like that, unfortunately, our time is just about up. Is there anything else you'd like to add really quickly before we have to wrap things up?
The last thing I would like to say is I encourage everybody to bring a pair of clippers, shears, or wire cutters with them. I'll have some extras, but bring your own tools is always helpful.
Terrific. Again, that floral jewelry workshop is happening Thursday, August 20th at the El Paso Garden Center on Grant. And Sabine Green, certified floral designer, we'd really love to thank you for being on Good to Grow today, and we look forward to that workshop.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Great. Thanks, Beanie.
We'd like to also thank Mike and Eddie for helping engineer today's Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.